శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 12 భక్తి యోగ శ్లోక 14. సంతుష్ట సతతం యోగీ యథాత్మా దృఢ నిశ్చయ. సంతుష్ట సతతం యోగీ యథాత్మా దృఢ నిశ్చయ. మయ్యర్పిత మనోబుద్ధి యో మద్భక్త స మే ప్రియ. మయ్యర్పిత మనోబుద్ధి యో మద్భక్త స మే ప్రియ. సో కృష్ణా సే సంతుష్ట. సంతుష్ట మీన్స్ కంటెంటెడ్, సాటిస్ఫైడ్, సమ్యక్, టోటలీ తృప్త. ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఈస్ వెరీ కంటెంటెడ్ అండ్ వెన్ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఇస్ కంటెంటెడ్ సతతం. సతతం మీన్స్ ఆల్వేస్. ఇన్ కేస్ సంతుష్టి కమ్స్ ఫార్ సమ్ పీపుల్, ఇట్ స్టేస్ ఫర్ అ వైల్ అండ్ గోస్ అవే. మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ అస్ దట్ ఇస్ ద కేస్. ఓన్లీ పాసింగ్ సంతుష్టి కమ్స్, ఆల్మోస్ట్ ఇట్స్ ఫేక్ సంతుష్టి ఆర్ నాట్ రియల్ సంతుష్టి అట్ ఆల్. వీ హ్యావ్ ది సంతుష్టి బికాస్ ఫార్ దాట్ మూమెంట్ వీ హ్యావ్ ఫర్గాటన్ అదర్ థింగ్స్. వన్స్ దే కమ్ టు అవర్ మైండ్ అవర్ సంతుష్టి ఆల్సో గోస్ అవే. దట్ ఈస్ హౌ అవర్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఇస్ మెనీ టైమ్స్. బట్ ఫార్ ఎ జ్ఞాని హీ నోస్ దట్ అట్ అనాత్మ లెవెల్ వన్ క్యాన్ అక్వైర్ ఎనీ నెంబర్ ఆఫ్ థింగ్స్ బట్ స్టిల్ దే విల్ ఆల్ బి ఇన్కంప్లీట్ ఓన్లీ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫైనైట్ ఇన్ నేచర్. We always feel that if one more of something is there, it would be fine. 5 cars, 5 workers, 10 workers. Always we have that thinking. So, tripti cannot come in relative possessions at all. And so, whatever is necessary for survival, for living, that is okay. One can have santushti with whatever one possesses. Similarly, emotional level also, any number of people may like us. We may not have tripti if one person dislikes us. We find it very difficult to accept it. So we want all people to like us. So emotionally also, we will not be satisfied. This is also at the anatma level. And intellectually, any number of knowledge one acquires, one cannot be sarvajna, omniscient, will always not know more most of the other things. So, jnani is completely satisfied with what he has at the anatma level. With his physical body, mind, intellect, he is always satisfied. He does not compare with others at all. That is the nature of the jnani. And as far as atma is concerned, his satisfaction is total because atma is purnaha, nityaha, shuddaha, sarvagataha. All those things are there. So, at atma level, he does not need anything. He does not want anything also. At the anatma level, any amount of acquirement will not fulfill. So he does not seek anything at all. So he is ever santushtaha. We are talking about a jnani. He is ever santushtaha. That is why Shankaracharya says, Mooda jahihi dhanagama trishnam, kuru sadbuddhim manasi vitrishnam, yallabase nija karmopatam vittam tena vinodaya chittam. Vinodaya chittam. Enjoy what you have. Don't look at the neighbor's plate at all. Enjoy whatever you have. Then yogi, the one who has mastered his thoughts. Yogaha means yogaha is chitta samadhanam. So yogi is samahita chittaha. That's what Acharya writes. That means what? No thoughts occur in his mind without his permission. Even the thoughts occur only with his permission only. It is a well-monitored mind, well-controlled mind that he has. Therefore, raga vritti, dvesha vritti, kama vritti, krodha vritti, vritti means thoughts. All those thoughts do not come to him at all. Even if they come, he knows how to tackle them. He can manage them very well. And we have to remember, the jnani has not achieved this just like that. He has paid his toll. As a sadhaka, he has practiced it for a long time, deliberately, consistently. He has struggled with his mind to control that. That is why we say that Vedantic student requires samadhi shatka sampatti. For acquiring that, he has practiced mind control. Shama, dama, uparama, titiksha, shraddha, samadhanam. All that he has practiced. That samadhanam is called yogaha here. And what is the difference between the previous condition and the present condition? Previously, before he became a jnani, he has practiced mind control. Now it has become natural to him after jnanam. That is the difference. Here the word satatam should be added to all of them. Satatam santushtaha, always. Satatam yogi. Then yathatma. Atma here means the instrument. Atma is not Sachidananda Atma. It means the instrument. Karya karana sangataha. So karyam is the physical body, the effect. Karanam, the instrument, is the subtle body. So both physical body and the subtle body are both are under his control. So Shankaracharya writes, yata swabhavaha, our nature. We have developed a certain nature because of our previous habits. Habits become second nature. And jnani is one who has carefully eliminated his rajasic and tamasic habits and carefully developed sattvic habits. So, yathatma. And the beauty here is what? Really speaking, jnani need not practice any discipline at all because he has nothing to achieve in life. But discipline has become his nature. So, it has become his yathatma. And dhrida nischayaha. Here, nischayaha means nischaya jnanam, a firm knowledge. Dhrida nischayaha means steady and firm knowledge. Regarding what? Regarding the Vedantic teaching, aham brahma asmi. Iti dhrida nischayaha. Because if this knowledge is not steady, then virtues cannot be practiced naturally at all. Suddenly a doubt will come. Is there really a moksha at all or not? Who knows there is God? Who knows there is punyam, papam? So what he would do? Kavo pivo majakaro. So that's what he will do. So for all these doubts, the knowledge should be very clear so that no one can shake me or question me. That is why he says dhrida nischayaha. Nadi jnani should be dhrida nischayaha. And this word is important here because we are defining a parabhakta. We already talked about it in the previous webinar. Parabhakta in these shlokas. Many people think Parabhakta need not study scriptures. We think Parabhakta is an emotional person who has practiced his Ishta Devata Bhakti. And later he is so much absorbed in that, in his deity, he has reached the culmination of Bhakti. Thus we think that Parabhakta is one who is emotionally absorbed in his deity all the time. We are not talking about that kind of bhakti here at all. Here, parabhakti means jnana lakshana bhaktihi. Akshara upasana rupa bhaktihi. Nirguna bhaktihi. That's what we are talking about here. And that is indicated by the word dhrida nischayaha. Without jnanam, this parabhakti simply does not exist. Okay. Then, mai arpita mano buddhihi. He is one who is mind and intellect are ever fixed upon me. His mind and intellect are ever fixed on me the Lord, Krishna himself says. We should note that satatam applies to all these also. Satatam mai arpita manobuddhihi, all the time, constantly. With his mind and intellect ever fixed upon me, actually this may also create perhaps another doubt. What is this me? Always we have to remind ourselves in when we study Gita. What is this me that Krishna talks about? It cannot be the Krishna Shariram or Lord Krishna, but there is no division in Parabhakti, because in Parabhakti, in Jnanam, there is no division, no Bedaha at all. So he already said, Nirmamo Nirahankaraha, free from Ahankara and Mamakara. So he cannot say, I am the devotee and my Lord, all those things. It cannot be there. So what is the meaning of Mayir Pita Manobhaktihi? It means one whose mind is ever fixed upon the Lord, who is none other than the Lord himself. So, Atmani Arpita Manobuddhihi. His mind is ever aware of Jiva Ishwara Aikyam. And this is possible only for a jnani. So, Mayarpita Manobuddhihi refers to a Stita Prajna, which we saw in second chapter, a jnani who is ever established in the knowledge that the Lord and myself are one and the same. Yaha Madbhaktaha Saha Me Priyaha. The one who is ever my devotee, he is the one closest to me, he loves me. Here also, satatam madbhaktaha, always. We have to include satatam everywhere. So the same logic must be applied here. As long as division is there between the jiva and paramatma, jivatma and paramatma, our love also will be divided. We have talked about this in detail when we did the seventh chapter. When I pray for the welfare of my son, what do? My son, my love is divided into three. I love myself, I love my son, I love the Lord also, because the Lord is going to bless my son. Of this, me and my son will take maybe 80-90% of love, and the Lord will take maybe some 10%. So even if he does not pray for his son and says he has nishkama bhakti, there also the love is divided between himself and the Lord, 50% at best. I love Lord because in that I find shanti in me. I find happiness in me. So Ishwaraha api atmanastu kamaya priyam bhavati. So in Veda bhakti, the devotion is not total. So when I merge into the Lord, or Lord merges into me, that is Jiva Ishvara Ikyam, love of me is equal to love of God and vice versa, and can become 100%, nothing to divide, that is Advaita. So this itself is expressed in love also. You, for example, when you love a person, you embrace a person because you do not want a distance between you and the object of love. Even food you love. As long as it is on the plate, you don't enjoy it. You like the smell, you like the flavor, the appearance, all that thing. You even feel, okay, you possess it now, this is your plate. But you don't enjoy it yet till such time you put it in the mouth and enjoy the taste. So only when it merges with you, you enjoy. Again, Advaita, even in eating. So the greatest bhakta is one who is one with the Lord. That is what was said in the seventh chapter. Udharaha sarva evaite jnani tvatmaiva memadam. Astitasahi yuktatma mamevan uttamam gatim. That's what Krishna said there in the seventh chapter. Arjuna, all devotees are great, but jnani is myself, and so he is dearest to me. That is what is told here about an advaita jnani. Saha me priyaha. Such a nirguna bhakta, advaita jnani alone is dear to me or dearest to me. Shloka 15. Yasma nodvijate loko, loka nodvijate chayaha. Yasma nodvijate loko, loka nodvijate chayaha. Harsha marshabayod vegaihi, mukto yasa cha me priyaha. Harsha marshabayod vegaihi mukto yasa cha me priyaha. Here the parabhakta is said to be totally fearless in two ways. Neither he causes fear to others, nor others can cause fear to him. To this jnani bhakta, parabhakta. In Sanskrit, it is expressed in two different words. When I don't cause fear to others, I am called ahimsakaha. I do not harm others. Because remember, causing fear also is himsa. Not beating, scolding alone is himsa. Jnanis, they do not want to cause fear in anyone. So, yasmat na udvijate lokaha. By whom the world is not agitated or caused fear. Even though there can be some gains. Because generally people say many things can be got done by causing fear. Right from young age. Parents practice this every day. Through fear itself, the child follows discipline. Then they put fear in religion also. If you don't worship the Lord, you don't get this, you don't get that. Lord will punish you. You will be doomed. Lord will, poke your eyes. They say all that. But the jnani knows it is not a proper method at all. It is like injecting poison to get things done. So he does not cause fear to anybody. By ahimsa method, by love, and by proper teaching, he may like to change people, but not by threatening method at all. The jnani never adopts that method. So in fact, this is one of the most important virtues of a seeker. And the ahimsa vratam is the greatest vratam taken during sannyasa ashrama. Abhayadanam. When a person takes sannyasa, he calls the whole universe and tells in the top of his voice, Abhayam sarva bhudebhyaha dattam swaha. He says, சர்வபூதேபியா ஃபார் ஆல் பீயிங்ஸ் ஐ கிவ் அபயம் ஐ வில் நாட் பி எ சோர்ஸ் ஆஃப் டிஸ்டர்பன்ஸ் ஆர் ஃபியர் டு எனி ஒன் நாட் ஓன்லி தட் ஹீ கால்ஸ் ஆல் அனிமல்ஸ் அண்ட் பேர்ட்ஸ் ஆல் ஹியூமன்ஸ் ஈவன் கால்ஸ் ஆல் த தேவதாஸ் அண்ட் சேஸ் நன் ஆஃப் யூ நீட் டு பி ஃப்ரைட்டன்ட் ஆஃப் மீ when you take sannyasa he does all that these are all rituals I will not disturb any one of you even the devatas are called because in the puranas we have seen that a person can perform 100 ashwamedha yagnas and can get indra padavi so as a person does more and more rituals indra gets frightened that is why we see in the puranas whenever someone does too many rituals indra disturbs them he sends manaka you know urvashi all those people to disturb them So a person can frighten the devatas by doing more and more of such rituals because their position will be in danger. So that sannyasi takes a vow that he will not do any rituals at all to frighten even the devatas. Similarly, in society also, he will assure that he will not do anything, any complex thing, any way that will compete with the society because it can affect somebody else. He may take someone else's job, all this competition. Even when there is limited food, and if it has to be shared, I will share with everyone. That's what the sannyasi will say. I will not be there to eat all by myself. I will not be a threat to anyone at all. This is called Abhaya Pradana Vratam or Ahimsa Vratam taken during sannyasa. So, Yasmat Lokaha Na Udvijate. I should not be the cause for sorrow. of the world even in the minutest agitation of course without my awareness some harm might be done perhaps to something during walking or breathing I may step on an insect or something like that but consciously I will not that's what the jnani takes the vow the sannyasi vacha manasa karmana va so that is why they have this danda danda means you know the dandam the sannyasis have the stick vag danda mano danda kaya danda Danda means discipline. Danda refers to discipline. By words, thoughts or deeds, I don't harm. Such a sannyasi, they call him Tridandi sannyasi, who will carry three dandas with him. Some sannyasi will carry only eka danda, only one, indicating all the three. So danda is a symbol for self-discipline of a sannyasi. So such a soft, gentle person, a parabhakta should be. Okay. Lokad. Na udvijate chayaha. Some people are very soft and gentle. They do not harm anyone. Fine. But they have a problem. Since they are so soft, they get hurt by a lot of situations. Like a lotus petal, for example. It is too soft to hurt anyone. But even if the temperature is a little high, it will be affected. Similarly, there are people also, their very softness becomes their weakness. But for a parabhakta, he is na udvijate, is not hurt by any situation, even though he is soft. And with respect to that, his heart is like a rock, unshaken by any actions of others. So we find that a jnani is the most unique person. He is soft like a lotus and he is hard like a rock. So, yasmat na udvijate lokaha, lokat na udvijate chayaha. To simply put, the first portion is ahimsa and the second portion is nirbhayaha. Not only that, harsha, amarsha, bhaya, udvegahi muktaha. He is free from all these problems. What are the problems? Harsha. Harsha means elation. Extreme elation, getting lost in worldly pleasures or happiness. It is a word that should be very carefully understood. Being happy in life is not harmful. Everyone wants to be happy. But harshaha means going to such an extent of happiness that the buddhi does not function. In Ramayana, they talk about the monkeys who became very happy when they knew that Hanuman found Sita. They were so extremely happy, they destroyed the entire Madhuvana. That means in extreme happiness, people lose their faculty of viveka, discrimination. And so in extreme sorrow also. So that is why they say for a heart patient, both are bad. That is why we condemn harsha as a negative emotion. Even though it is extreme happiness, it's still a negative emotion. So Jnani is one who is free from Harsha. And Amarsha, Amarsha means intolerance. So intolerance means Asahanam, Sahanam, Asahanam. Mrish, 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 Marshanam means Sahanam, to tolerate. So this is another problem with a lot of us. We might reach perfection after several years of practice. Once we have reached that stage, we expect everyone should be like that. And so we cannot tolerate. Even towards our children, we cannot tolerate. This intolerance with people and situation is a great problem for most of us. Different people are at different levels. I should allow time for them to grow. This is one type of intolerance with people and situations. And there is another type of intolerance, that is when I see someone who is better than me, then I develop jealousy, dislike. I avoid his company. So I cannot tolerate superiors because of jealousy. I cannot tolerate inferiors because of their imperfection. So who will I tolerate at all? So most of my life goes in agitation, amarshaha. So Jnani is one who can move with both. He has kshama, forbearance with inferiors, and he has admiration for superiors. Then bhayam. The Parabhakta, the Jnani, is free from bhayam, all types of fear. Adhyatmika, Adibhaudika, Adidaivika, Devika, all fears. Adhyatmika, fear about myself. How is the health? Heart is bad, etc. We are always afraid. The sugar has increased by 2 more points yesterday or today. But we put it nicely, I don't want to trouble my children. That's what we tell us. Oh, no, no, I don't want to cause any trouble to my children. But we are afraid internally ourselves. All these things are all mostly bluff only. Then Adibhaudikam, afraid of the surroundings. And Adidaivikam, afraid of all the supernatural forces, unpredictable situations. So all these fears are not there in his mind, in the mind of a Jnani. Come what may, I will face it boldly. So he is free from bhayam, fear. And finally, Udvegaha, either anxiety or getting upset or afflicted. This is a problem of being too much sensitive. That being upset for every small thing. That is called Udvegaha, Manaha Kshobaha. Disturbance in the mind. And Parabhakta is not of that type at all. Because we should remember that our Prarabdha can decide only our external conditions and the body. And how we should react to the situation is not determined by Prarabdha. The first time a thought comes in the mind, that is driven by Prarabdha. You cannot resist it. But once it comes, your free will. You should be able to make a decision whether it is worth fanning that thought or clipping it. So that is sukham and dukham are not determined by prarabdha. Prarabdha may lead to loss of money, wealth, health, or even death. But even those losses, whether I should worry or not, prarabdha does not decide, but they are decided by me. Worry or not to worry is determined by my purusharta. Nobody can do anything with that. Even Ishvara or destiny cannot give me worry. So suffering is prarabdha, but worrying over the suffering is not prarabdha. This is important because only then Jivan Mukti is possible. Jivan Mukta has crossed over worrying because of what? Because of his knowledge, because of his wisdom. So prarabdha is never the Parabhakta is never upset by any set of conditions, and so he is muktaha, he is free. Free from harsha, amarsha, bhaya, udvega, all that. So from this we are getting another clue also, because often we have a doubt in knowing what exactly is liberation. Liberation means what? Liberation is freedom. Freedom from what? Since we see sannyasis and we think they are all jnanis, we think liberation is getting out of family situations, money, possessions and all that. So we are not very clear about liberation from what. Or we think of liberation is a great mystic stage, miraculous powers. Remember, liberation has nothing to do with any mystic power at all. Liberation means that the mind is free from all type of these negativities. Harsha, Marsha, Bhaya, Udvega, are you free? Whether you are a sannyasi, rich or poor, that is not the question. Are you free from all these, Harsha, Marsha, Bhaya and Udvega? If you are a Jivanmukta. Whether you are a Brahmin, Kshatriya, male, female, Hindu, Christian, none of the matters. And suppose there is a sannyasi who may have even mystic powers. Even then, if he has not conquered these Kamakrodha and Harsha, Marsha and all that, or he is upset because there is another competitor, more number of devotees go to him, more number of devotees go to his upanyasam than myself. If he has all those thinking, then he is not a Jivanmukta, a Jnani at all. We don't require miraculous powers for liberation. Material things, reading the past, present, future, all those things don't matter at all. And Lord says, Yaha Saha Me Priyaha. Such a Parabhakta is dear to me, not those miracle mongers and all those people. So this person of such a clean mind, such a firm mind, Dhradanishayaha, that person who is so innocent and plain, Saha Me Priyaha. Here, dear means dearest to me. So myself and himself, we are not different, we are one and the same. Shloka 16.
Anapekshasuchirdaksham udasino gatavyatah sarvarambha parityagi yo madbhakta same priyah sarvarambha parityagi yo madbhakta same priyah.
So same topic Krishna is continuing. Parabhaktam is anapekshah. Anapeksha means he is no dependence. He has no dependence at all. Anapekshaha, one who is independent. And here we should remember, independence is not physical. No one can be physically independent. We require food, we require shelter, we require cloth. We need help from others to do any work in day-to-day life. We can never ask for physical freedom. Physical freedom means what? The whole harmony of the world will go. So independence is mental, to be full, happy, secure, composed. He does not require anyone for any of these. Whether there are people or not, the jnani's mind is the same. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apaha pravishanti edvate tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shanti mapnoti na kamakami. So jnani's mind is like an ocean. Rivers may join, they may not join. If all the rivers are dry because of drought, rivers may not flow into the ocean at all. But ocean never becomes small. It is ever full. And so also, when they are in spate, ocean is not increased either when the rivers are in spate. So similarly, some rivers are dry, rivers, all of them also, it receives all of them. Some may praise, some may be criticizing, some people may do. The jnani is not affected. Whether somebody praises him or they criticize him. And even if the whole world deserts him, he is not getting to feel isolated at all. He will not feel insecure. So anapekshaha, mentally independent. Then shuchihi, clean, both physically and mentally, clean thoughts. For all others, what they extremely show and what they are internally may be so different for many others. Actually, to lead a hypocritic life is really painful, because outside you have to smile, inside you are burning. Learn to like everyone. Never force a smile. Smile openly. Have a simple and clean mind. He is not a simpleton, but he is simple. So then dakshaha. Dakshaha means efficient. Samarthaha. Shankaracharya says, so the person, when you have a sudden decision, we have to make a sudden decision in a situation, his mind is so clear that he is able to spot decisions because his mind is ever alert. He can make spot decisions anytime. So dakshaha, very capable person. And udasinaha. Udasinaha means impartial. He does not join this party or that party. He has equal love, compassion for all. but it should not be misunderstood. It is often translated as indifference, udasinaha, but here it means one who is impartial, not in the negative sense. Then gatavyataha, vyataha means sorrow, vyata means sorrow, pain, disturbance, mental pain, all that thing. And gatavyataha means one who is free from all types of disturbances. And then sarva arambha parityagi. Arambha means karma. Arabhyate iti arambha. Karma vitpatti. And sarva arambha parityagi means sarva karma parityagi. What do we mean when renouncing all karma? Sarva karma parityagi means renouncing all the karmas. Which means he does not do any karma for his fulfillment. He is ever full. He doesn't have to do any karma to fulfill himself. He may not do a lot of karma for, he may do lot of karma for what? For loka sangraha. But not for his fulfillment, for the sake of the society. As far as karmas for himself are concerned, they are reduced to the minimum of sharira yatra matram, for the maintenance of the physical body only. Snanam, panam, bhiksha, they are all done minimally for just locomotion of his life. All other planned activities are for others only. Even for the fundamental needs are concerned, he is not bothered about them. And he does not plan for the future food, security, health, none of those. Even they are maintained by yadricha labhavanna. Yadricha labh, so yadricha labhena. So we may ask, if the jnani is doing karma for loka sangraha, then why do you say that he has renounced the karma? Because he does karma for loka sangraha, for the sake of welfare of others. When jnani does karma for loka sangraha, we do not call it karma at all. Karma is a karma only when it is binding. Karma is not a karma when it does not bind you. Bind you means by its phala. So the difference between a jnani's work and that of an ajnani is what? Ajnani works for his fulfillment. Jnani works without fulfillment, he just works, regardless of that. Actually, many of our acharyas are very active, including Shankaracharya himself, who was extremely active person. He went across the entire length and breadth of the country 3 times. So, what we say is, action itself is not bondage, but how it is done alone makes the bondage. And such a bhakta is dearest to me, yo mad bhaktaha same priyaha. Shloka 17. Yona krishyati na dveshti, na shochati na kankshati. Yona krishyati na dveshti, na shochati na kankshati. Shubha shubha parityagi, bhaktimanya same priyaha. Shubha shubha parityagi, bhaktimanya same priyaha. So in the next 3 slokas, Krishna, he is going to point out that parabhakta is beyond pairs of opposite experiences, dvandvas, yona krishyati and yona shochati. We will take first and third words because they are opposites. Harsham means elation. We already saw that. Harsham, so in the previous sloka, so harsham harsha bayodvegaihi muktaha, we saw that earlier. And shocham means depression. So yona krishyati krishyati na shochati means one who is free from elation and depression. And nadveshti na kankshati, it gives the reason, beautifully connected actually. We will rearrange it. Yona kankshati nadveshti, who does not desire anything and hate anything. He does not desire anything and does not hate anything. And therefore, he does not have elation and depression. So we have to link it with the previous one. Because he does not desire anything and hate anything, he does not have elation or depression. Because from desire, you can have elation. Because when there are desires, when they are fulfilled, one can have elation. And when there are no desires, no scope for elation at all. Similarly, when there is hatred, it can create depression in the mind. When there is no hatred, there is no scope for depression. So, yasmat na kankshati, tasmat na krishyati. And yasmat na dveshti, tasmat na shochati. So, even at home, if you like someone, when he comes, then krishyati, you are elated, excited. When you don't like someone and they have come, shochati. So, when both are not there, both these reactions are not there also. So these ideas we have already seen. And Shubha Shubha Parityagi, one who has given up both good and evil. Shubha Shubha, Shubham Ashubham, that means both relative good and relative evil, Dharma and Adharma. Or as Shankaracharya puts it, Shubham stands for Dharma Karmas, Nitya Naimittika Karmas. And we already know all these terms, so I am not explaining all of them. And Kamya Nishiddha Karmas, they are called Ashubham Karmas. The one who has given up all of them, Ashubham Karmas, because they are binding karmas. They give rise to karma phala. Because ultimately, to attain the absolute, we should be free from all opposites. And even Dharma Adharma come under samsara only. The only thing is, within samsara, dharma is better. That's all. It's a golden bondage. Dharma also causes punarjanma, so does adharma. So both are janma karanam, marana karanam, samsara karanam. So this is why Krishna will tell later, sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, in the 18th chapter. O Arjuna, if you have to come to me, I am beyond all pairs of opposites. That is why in Kathopanishad, anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat. What is beyond punya papam, dharma and adharma, such is a person who is called Shubha Shubha Parityagi. Shubha Ashubha Parityagi. Okay. And why does he renounce them? Very simple. Dharma or noble karma is practiced for what? For Chitta Shuddhi. We already told earlier, Karma Yoga. Chitta Shuddhi is for Jnanam or Moksha. So dharma is the means and moksha is the end. And Jnani is one who has already reached the end, and when the end is reached, means does not have any value or validity. So Siddha Purushasya Sadhanam Kimartham. He is already a Siddha Purusha. What is Sadhanam for? No need. So Sadhakasya Sadhanam, for a person who is a Sadhaka, he requires Sadhanam because he wants Sadhyam. He has to still reach the goal. But when I am a Siddha Purushaha, when I am a Jnani already, there is no question of anything to be attained. So why the means at all? No need. But still Jnani may practice Dharma for Lokasangraha, for the sake of others, but certainly not for his sake. He gives them up for his sake, but for others' sake, he follows them. Shubha Shubha Parityagi. And Bhaktiman Yaha, such a Bhaktiman, Bhakta, Same Priyaha, he is dearest to me. And throughout we should remember, these are Jnani Lakshana, Jnani's Lakshanas, the Jnani's qualities. When we say Jnani is free from Harsha and Shoka, we should also be free from them. That's what it means. So we learn to accept the opposites and stay pleasant. Same Priyaha, such a devotee is dearer to me. We have to learn to accept the opposites. Shloka 18. Samashatrau cha mitre cha tatha manapamanayoh. Samashatrau cha mitre cha tatha manapamanayoh. Shitoshna sukha dukkeshu samasanga vivarjitaha. Shitoshna sukha dukkeshu samasanga vivarjitaha. Here also similar idea is given as was done earlier, that Jnani is beyond the pairs of opposites. His mind is ready to accept them as part of life, not reacting to them. He is beyond. So what are the opposites? Krishna gives some examples here. Samaha, Shatrauca, Shatrauca, Mitrecha. Enemy and friend, Shatru and friend. And another inevitable pair of opposites. Jnani does not consider anyone as Shatru. But there may be others who may consider the Jnani as Shatru. They don't like Vedanta, Sannyasa, secluded life. Such, there are people like that. When they see a Sannyasi, their blood pressure goes up. And these guys are not doing anything and they are enjoying life. That's what they think. Even avatars are not left out. Even Krishna was hated strongly by Shishupala and other people. Ravana could not see eye to eye with Rama. Dharmaputra was called Ajatashatru. To avoid the war, he practiced tremendous discipline because Vyasa predicted that Dharmaputra will be the cause for Mahabharata war. So he was very, very careful all the time so that there is no enmity at all. சோ இஸ் கால்ட் அஜாத சத்ருஹு ந ஜாத்தகா சத்ரு எஸ்ய. வாட் ஹேப்பன்ட், ஈவன் தோ ஹி வாண்டட் டு பி கர்ட், தி கௌரவாஸ் டிட் நாட் லைக் ஹிம் அட் ஆல். சப்போஸ் யூ வாண்ட் அதர்ஸ் டு லைக் யூ அண்ட் சேஞ்ச் யுவர் செல்ஃப் ஃபார் தட் சேக், தென் பீப்புள் ஹூ லைக் யூ பிஃபோர் வில் நாட் லைக் யூ எனி மோர். So whatever you do, there will be some people who will like you, some people who may not like you. So jnani is samaha shatrau cha mitre cha, whether others like me or not, I will like all. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna eva cha. Similarly mana apamana yoho, that is another problem, honor and dishonor, mana and apamana, this is also inevitable thing in life. Some may treat you honorably or otherwise, some people may not. I can't help it. Similarly, Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukham. Cold heart, Shita and Ushnam. Sukham and Dukham. Sukham and Dukham. So, first two are people. Next two are actions and behavior. And the last two are situations. Opposites are there in all. That is, in action, in behavior, in situations. So, and the jnani is samaha towards all of them. Remember, if a person has to be corrected or something has to be done, he will do. He will try to do at least. Physically, he may react to find solution for problems, but inside his mind is ever free from hatred, irritation, anger, and all those things. Outside, whatever steps he has to be taken, the jnani still will take them. Krishna decided to kill Shishupala ultimately. And he killed him also, but no hatred in his heart, nor was he upset about it. Upset about Shishupala's behavior. So samaha, all because of what? Sangha vivarjitaha. Because he is free from all sangha, all association, all attachment, all involvement. Shloka 19. Tulya ninda stutir mauni santushto yena kena chite. துல்ய நிந்தாஸ்துதிர் மௌனி சந்துஷ்டோ ஏன கேனசித் அனிகேதஸ்திரமதிஹி பக்திமான் மே பிரியோ நரஹ. அனிகேதஸ்திரமதிஹி பக்திமான் மே பிரியோ நரஹ. சோ கிருஷ்ணா டாக்ஸ் அபவுட் அனதர் பேர் ஆஃப் ஆப்போசிட்ஸ் ஹியர், தட் இஸ் நிந்தா அண்ட் ஸ்துதி. இட் இஸ் அட் த வாக் லெவல், அட் த ஸ்பீச் லெவல். Previously, mana and apamana, honor, dishonor, that is all at the action level. But one person is garlanded, another person is not. One is prostrated, another is not. One is given a chair, another person is asked to stand. These are all honor, dishonor at the action level. Here it is at vachikam or vak level. A person can honor or dishonor. This is called ninda and stuti. Remember, this action, this is also inevitable. Always there will be some people who will support one, another, other people who will criticize you. Jnani has to be tulyam. And so a sadhaka also has to learn to be tulyam. Jnani is tulyam by nature, spontaneously, whereas for a sadhaka, he has to gain that virtue. Otherwise, mind will be disturbed and Vedanta will not enter into such a mind. So brush aside all of these. So, ninda stutihi tulyaha, equanimous with respect to reaction. He knows they are different in reaction, but in reaction he is the same. He understands that. Then mauni, Shankaracharya, he gives the meaning samyata vak, one who he is economical in his speech. He is controlled in his speech. So, he is samyata vak. The person who is economical, when to speak, what to speak, where to speak, how to speak, whom to speak, how much to speak. He puts caution in all of them. Many people keep on advising you. We know he will not listen. Once your words are not valid, why do you waste them anymore? So speak to the point minimally. Then value will increase when it is reduced. So in the house also, children, wife, they all say, anyway, he keeps on talking. Why listen to him? That's what many houses they say. And if we speak and we mean, then the value of words will become valuable. So Shankaracharya does not take maunam as not speaking at all. There are some people who don't speak at all and create a lot of problems. Speaking is necessary. For a sannyasi in a cave, it worked out if he doesn't speak. But it is very difficult at the local level. What we say is, if we observe discipline in speech, that is more than maunam. That is good. Shankaracharya says that this physical maunam is for balana, for children, for unevolved people, shutting the mouth. For mature people, maunam is not shutting the mouth, but disciplined speech. So mauni, mauni means samyata vak. So vak tapas, this is called vak tapas. Krishna will talk about it in the 17th chapter, we'll see later. And then santushto yena kena chite, the one who is happy with whatever he gets. This is said especially with respect to food, because jnani does not have any desire. He cannot say, I want petta kurambu every day. Only things he seeks is basic needs, food, shelter, clothing. With respect to these basic needs, he accepts whatever he gets. And that is a sadhana for a seeker. Constantly telling, one grain of salt is missing. Half a spoon of sugar is missing. Little more milk is good. Tongue is so sensitive, they can differentiate between half a salt. Then where is self-control? Tapas. But a parabhakta is one who is yadricha labha santushtaha. Whatever comes, he takes it. Then aniketaha, one who does not have a fixed abode. So niketa means an abode, it's house. These are all talked from the standpoint of view of a sannyasi. Krishna is talking about a parabhakta as a sannyasi and talks it from that angle. We cannot say grahastha is aniketaha because he needs a house. So, but a sannyasi is one who can sleep anywhere. Moolam taroho kevalam ashrayantaha. One who moves from place to fields, place and sleeps under the root of a tree also. As for a grahastha, he can be a parabhakta by removing the strong attachment to the house. The sentiment hangs up that all the sentimental hangs up to be removed for a grahastha. He can still be in the grahastha life, but without attachment. And niketa means house, aniketa means without a fixed house. And sthiramatihi, one who is firm in his knowledge, sthiramatihi. Matihi means jnanam, atma jnanam here, sthiramatihi. Or to put it in the second type as chapter terminology, it is the same as sthita prajnaha. Bhaktiman me priyo naraha, such a person who is the greatest devotee is dearest to me. With this, Krishna has given an exhaustive list of parabhakta lakshana, the qualities of a parabhakta. Now, Krishna will conclude by prescribing them as a sadhana to the seekers. For a jnani, they are spontaneous. For a seeker, they are sadhanas to be practiced. Shloka 20. Yetu dharmyamritam idam, yetoktam paryupasate, yetu dharmyamritam idam, yatoktam paryupasate shraddhadhanamat paramam bhaktaste tiva me priyaham shraddhadhanamat paramam bhaktaste tiva me priyaham. So whichever sadhaka follows all of them, whomsoever is a seeker who follows all of them, he will be dearest to me. That is the essence of this shloka. He gives a beautiful name, yetu idam dharmyam amritam. These set of values, Krishna calls them amritam, nectar-like values. Why call amritam? Amrita sadhanatvat amritam. Literally, amritam is immortality. These virtues, they lead to immortality. Amrita sadhanatvat. So, called amritam itself. Sadhane sadhye prayogaha. So, not only that, dharmyam, it is not against dharma. It is one step higher than dharma. Not opposed to dharma, moksha is beyond dharma. Why it is not against dharma? Because that is also prescribed by the very same scriptures alone. Karma kanda talks about dharma. Jnana kanda talks about how to go beyond dharma. So both are within dharma only, dharma alone, not against the scriptures, not violate them. So dharmya means dharmat anapetam, which is amritam. Which is yatoktam, mentioned previous verses from 13th to 19th verses, yatoktam. So, yaha, which is already mentioned in those slokas, yaha yetu paryupasate, whichever sadhaka diligently follows all these, completely paritaha upasate, and with what attitude? Shraddhadhanaha, with full faith in the efficacy of all these values, which is very, very important, because following values will certainly create material problems. They don't go together, especially in these times and age. We know that even Harishchandra's time, following the value of Satyam was difficult. Losing wealth, wife, children, he had to go through everything. Values are primarily aimed at spiritual success, Atmajnanam. Material success may or may not come. So, Shraddhadhanaha. I should have faith that this will lead to spiritual growth. Whether I come up in material life or not, I will come up spiritually with this faith. Not only that, Mat Paramaha. Those who have me as their ultimate goal, Paramaha. Te Bhaktaha Ativa Me Priyaha. Priyaha. They are also very dearest to me, Ativa. Previously, he talked about Siddhas. Here, he talks about Sadhakas. Siddhas means Jnanis. Now, he is talking about the practitioners, the seekers. Siddhas are spontaneously good. Sadhakas are struggling to be good. For them, it is a prayatnam. So, Krishna says, both are dear to me. One is Jnani, another is a Jignyasu. We already are familiar with this term, Jignyasu. One is Siddha, the other one is a Sadhaka. One has reached the destination, another one is going towards it, towards the destination. And the last and the most important point is, following these virtues themselves is not moksha. One has to be very clear. These values will make him fit for gaining moksha. After gaining these values, one has to do Vedanta Vichara, has to go through Jnana Marga. Values do not give moksha. They help in coming to Vedanta Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. Only Aham Brahma Asmi Iti Jnanam can liberate a person. So a person who follows values is a nobleman, but he is not a wise man yet. A nobleman is fit for wisdom, but he is not yet wise. And so he is also a samsari only. A person with values, a nobleman, also still a samsari. To know whether he is liberated or not, the question is not whether he is noble or ignoble, but whether he is wise or otherwise. So the advice is, follow the values, get wisdom from a teacher, and get liberated. How to get wisdom? Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Go to a teacher and then worship him, and do all the sevas to him, and gain knowledge from him. This is the essence of this Parabhakta Lakshana portion. With this, the 12th chapter is concluded. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gitasu Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Bhakti Yoga Nama Dvadashodhyayah Om Sri Krishna Arpanamastu. Thus, the 12th chapter is concluded. I can do a summary of the 12th chapter very quickly. We have 5 more minutes, but I may overshoot by maybe a couple of minutes. So, the 12th chapter is the culmination of the 6 chapters from 7th onwards, 7 to 12. This is the second Shatka. So, from 7th chapter, Krishna has been preparing Arjuna only for Ishvara Bhakti. And right from the 7th chapter, the nature of Ishvara has been gradually developed. And the main idea conveyed is what? That Ishvara is Jagat Karanam, the cause for the universe. And so the whole universe is only a manifestation of Ishvara, the Vishwarupa. And these were the main 2 points systematically dealt with from shlokas, from chapters 7 to the 11th. And all these preparations were to talk about bhakti in the 12th chapter. So, the bhakti being Vishwarupa or Virat Bhakti. And also, one more higher level of bhakti, which is beyond Vishwarupa Bhakti. So, 5 levels of bhakti were talked about. He keeps Vishwarupa Bhakti as the main one, and 3 stages of lower bhakti, and 1 stage of higher bhakti. So, 5 stages. 3 of them precede Virat Bhakti. 1 will come later after Virat Bhakti. So, 5. And the 12th chapter begins with Arjuna's question whether Saguna Bhakti is better or Nirguna Bhakti. And we saw that this question does not have an answer because the question itself is wrong. There is no comparison between Saguna Bhakti and Nirguna Bhakti because there is no choice between them. Comparison can come only when there is a choice. And so the main idea is that everyone should go through Saguna Bhakti and then to Nirguna Bhakti. And then alone liberation is possible. So even though this is the fact, for unprepared people, Saguna Bhakti is the best. And so Krishna says, Saguna Bhakta is superior and glorifies that in the second shloka. Then on from the third shloka up to the 12th shloka, Krishna talks about the five stages of bhakti we just mentioned. The only difference is what? Instead of going from bottom to top, Krishna is coming from top to bottom, the highest bhakti to the lowest bhakti. First, Krishna talks about the highest level of bhakti, which is nothing but Jnana Yoga. Vedanta Shravana Manana Nidhyasanam, which is called by Krishna as Akshara Upasana, the highest level of bhakti, because this directly leads to liberation. This was given in shlokas 3 to 5. And then Krishna comes to the next lower stage of bhakti, which is Vishwarupa Bhakti or Vishwarupa Upasana, and this was given in shlokas 6 to 8. And this is a lower stage of bhakti because it cannot give liberation directly. It can give liberation only through Nirguna Bhakti and not directly, through Vishwarupa Bhakti. And Krishna comes one more step down in the 9th shloka, where he talks about the Ishta Devata Bhakti or Upasana. So from Akshara Bhakti to Virat Bhakti to Ishta Devata Bhakti, the word Bhakti and Upasana are synonyms here. And this is also lower because this also does not give liberation. Ishta Devata Bhakti also does not give liberation. So from Ishta Devata Bhakti, one has to come to Virat Bhakti to Nirguna Bhakti. Then in the 10th shloka, Krishna talks about still lower bhakti, which is nothing but Karma Yoga. So the top one was Jnanam, the next two were Upasanas, and the last two are Karma. And in these days, in this particular stage, Ishvara Arpanam is emphasized, Karma Yoga. Not doing anything for oneself, but everything as an offering to the Lord. And this was given in the 10th shloka, there is no Kamya Karma. There is only Nitya Naimittika Karmas, and they are all offered to the Lord. This is the 4th stage. And Krishna comes to the final stage in the 11th shloka, where all the karma, Kamya Karmas are allowed, but the only thing is the Karma Palam must be offered to the Lord and taken back as prasada from the Lord. So in the previous stage, nothing is received, only giving. In the final stage, receiving is allowed, but as Ishvara Prasada. That is the 5th and final stage. And 4th and the 5th stages come under Karma Yoga. 2nd and 3rd stages come under Upasana. And the 1st stage comes under Jnana. That is the highest stage. So the main point is what? Among these 5 stages, there is no option at all. Everyone has to go through Karma, has to go through Upasana, and finally Jnana. So division of karma marga, upasana, or bhakti marga, jnana marga, as there are three separate paths, they are not accepted by Krishna. These margas are not separate. We have only one path which will go through all these. And the last door for liberation is jnana. And after giving these 5 stages, Krishna glorifies the lowest stage in the 12th shloka, so that no one will feel inferior. Krishna gives the lowest stage as the highest one. Okay. And with this, the main task of Krishna is over. That is, he was talking about bhakti, and for that, he was preparing Arjuna in the 7th to 11th chapters. And from 13th to the 20th shlokas, Krishna talks about the character of the highest bhakta, the parabhakta. And even if a person comes up to Vishwarupa Bhakti, even if he is called an Aparabhakta, he is still called an Aparabhakta only, not a Parabhakta. So Karma Yogi is Aparabhakta. So is Ishta Devata Upasaka also is an Aparabhakta only. Only the Nurgunam Brahma Jnani. So Jiva Ishvara Aiknya Jnani, he is only a Parabhakta. Who is Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. Only after that he is called a Parabhakta. And the glory of that Parabhakta Krishna gives in shlokas 13 to 20, which we saw today. And this serves two purposes. One is the glory of the destination. That is, if the destination is glorified, the travelers are encouraged. Always so, because they like wonderful pictures and all that thing. So each one of the, and second point is, each one of the character of the Parabhakta becomes a virtue for a sadhaka. That is, we practiced. So we get lot of virtues here, absence of hatred, absence of mamakara, ahankara, contentment. So we get all those things. And having given this Parabhakta's glory, Krishna concludes in the 20th shloka by glorifying the sadhaka, whichever sadhaka pursues these virtues. They are all as close to me as the Siddha Purusha is, the Jnani is. Naturally, if I have to become a Parabhakta, ultimately I have to come to Jnana Yoga. And Krishna has talked only up to Vishwarupa Bhakti, because in the 11th chapter, Krishna talked about Vishwarupa, and so Arjuna has now Vishwarupa Bhakti. What is Arjuna lacking now? Only the highest one in the form of Jnana Yoga. And so Jnana Yoga will be the topic in the following chapters. So the fourth stage of Bhakti has been talked about till now. And the fifth or the final stage of Bhakti, that is Jnana Yoga, will be the topic from the 13th chapter onwards. So the 12th chapter is complete, because all levels of sadhanas are prescribed in this chapter. And the final goal is also very clearly mentioned. Now we will go to the 13th chapter in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitaha tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwaraha krishna arpanamastu narayana.